Harper, welcome. I'm glad you're here with us this morning, online and in-house. Few technical difficulties as we're getting some things streaming, so we apologize for the delay this morning. But if you are watching on Facebook, take a minute and share the live stream. If you're in-house, get ready for an awesome service. The only announcement I want to share with you real quick, tomorrow's food distribution here at the church. So it starts at in the morning, 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Be ready to, or just plan on being here. If you need some assistance with food, we look forward to helping you that aspect of it. And if you want to come serve, be here in the morning to serve as well. You guys ready to get into worship? If you're in the house, everybody stand on your feet this morning if you're in the house. If you're at home, clear the coffee table. Let's get ready to worship God. Father, we love you this morning. Father, we praise you. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you are the God of this world, the God of this universe, God, and you are in charge. God, I ask you, Lord, as we begin to worship you this morning, as we begin to lift your name up, that you would just move in our midst and you would just love us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Bay Harbor, and whoever's watching this morning, are you ready to praise the Lord? This is our time of worship. Let's give him an ovation of praise this morning. Because who can stand against our God? No one can. He's victorious. Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. And no one will. Who can stand against the King? No one can. No one will. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Come on, let's claim it this morning. Tell me, who can stand?
Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will.
Come on, tell me, who can stand?
Who can stand against the King?
Nobody can.
No one can.
No one will.
No one will.
Let's sing. We put our hope in you. Here's why.
'Cause you will deliver.
Trust in the Lord this morning. Yes, we put our hope in you. Come on, let's sing. So we put our trust.
So we put our trust in
Come on, we're doing it together. We put our hope.
Yes, we put our hope in you.
We put our trust. We put.
Yes. So we put our trust in
we
you.
We choose to trust in the Lord. With all
we put our hope. Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus.
Just a
victory
voice.
Belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
Believe that victory belongs to the Lord. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. The truth of the matter is, He is King over everything. And we can sing, victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Him. Come on, let's all sing victory.
Victory belongs to Him.
Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is a praise make a dead man walk again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This part here. Come on, when we sing this, I want you to sing it with a deep conviction, all right? Because you got to know that your God is able. Dot, dot, dot. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than you ever can ask or think. Listen, because my God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that He wants. Y'all know it, yeah. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elisha if there's anything that.
Just ask the stone that was thrown at the tomb in the garden. What happens when God says to move? I feel Him moving.
This is
the sound of dry bones rattling.
Come on, do y'all hear the message in this music here, in this song? God wants you to live. The word says that the power of life is in our mouth. Come on, we need you to speak life into those areas of your life that seems to be dead. It's just waiting for you to give it that command to live. The Bible says if we ask anything according to the will of the Lord, that we can do this, knowing in confidence that he would answer us. So no matter what it looks like right now, I need you to speak life into it. All things are possible with God. That's the simplest message that I think that we overlook. Nothing is too hard for our God. Nothing is hard. Listen, because I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
Oh, oh, oh. I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
Oh, yeah. I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
This is what you ought to be telling to do. Say, I want to go on, but we got to stay here for just a second. Come on, y'all know what's going on in our community. Y'all know what's going on in this world right now. And it's for us. Listen, the Lord left this world in possession for us. We know about the prince of the powers and the rulers of the air, but he put life in our mouth. The word of the Lord is stronger than anything else. So when we call, I want you to have that thing in mind that you have, whatever it is. I'm giving you another opportunity to just speak to it right now. But as you speak, I need you to see it resurrecting as well, too. Come on, you need to believe it already. Because I want to be able to testify with you that our God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. The thing is that he wants to heal. Do you want to be healed? He wants to restore. Do you want your life restored? That's nothing too hard for our God. I'm not trying to preach it, I'm sorry, but I'm feeling it right now. We have too much mess going on around us to just patty cake with this anymore. Power is in your mouth. As we speak these things, because I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
I see it in the spirit. I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
Do you really hear it this morning? I hear the sound. Come on, you who are watching, even on live stream right now, do you hear it? I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
But here's what I'm telling you to do. Hey, live. Let's open our mouths. Come on, let's open our mouths. me there, take me there. What you need is just an offering. It's right here, I'm waiting here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're the fire, a refiner. I wanna be consumed, I wanna be tried by fire. Purified, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life, I wanna be tried by fire. Purified, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Song to sing. But there's no better fire to be burnt by than the fire of God. because this fire purifies and cleanses us. So, Lord, I want to be tried by fire. Purifies me. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I want to be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life.
Praise the Lord. What a prayer. That song's a prayer. I want to be tried by fire, purified. Take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Pastor Maine, that's not only a prayer, that's a tough prayer.
It is.
Think about what you're saying. I want to be tried by fire, purified. If we can get ourselves to a place, Pastor Maine, where we really mean that and really seek that from God, what could He do in our lives? What could He do in our midst? What could He do in your family? Father, we love You this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are the fire that purifies us, God. God, we thank You, Lord, that You are in our midst this morning and You're roaming these walls right now, God. God, I thank You, Lord, that You're in the homes that are viewing this right now, God. God, You are purifying. You're trying people by fire. You're purifying things. God, the things going around in this world right now, God, is no coincidence, no accident, God. It's what You're allowing to happen, Father. God, we're believing You this morning. We praise You in Jesus' name. Thank You so much for joining us this morning in this house. Thank You for joining us online this morning. If you haven't shared this live stream, share it now. God's got a word for you. God's got a word for this community. God's got a word for this house this morning. And I'm excited to see what He's going to do in our midst. If you're a guest with us for the first time and you've never filled out that envelope that little red card that's in the chair pocket in front of you, if you'll pull that card out and just fill out as much of the information as you feel comfortable doing so, take it to the back of the sanctuary. We have a gift we want to share with you. If you're a second or third time guest, do it again. Do it again. Three different gifts. Be sure you take advantage and get those. We just want to get to know you and share something with you and tell you thank you for being here. If you're online and you want to go to our church app or the website, click on the guest card, do the same thing, fill it out. We will send you something in the mail just for joining us this morning. And we thank you. Also, that same chair pocket, there's a giving envelope. If you'll fill that envelope, if you'll just pull that envelope out, there's many different ways you can give. You see it here on the screen. You can text. You can go to the church app, church website, or place in the black box at the back of the sanctuary on the way out this morning. But we thank you once again for joining us. Pastor, come on up. Pastor, things look a little better in the hospitals when I see the numbers with COVID. It's still in the air. It's still around us.
Still a lot going on, but we are hopefully seeing a decline in what's happening, and we praise the Lord for that. God is certainly moving and answering prayer, and we're just believing for more of that to happen, so for sure.
Absolutely.
So.
And what about here in the church? Any updates?
Still going on. A lot of people are back this morning. There's some still out, some that are just being cautious, and we do have the Ulrich family that we need to lift up in prayer this morning. So.
And membership class, guys, if you have signed up for the membership class, don't forget during the 11 o'clock service, you're going to stick around and you're going to go next door.
Right.
Got several signed up for that, I believe.
Yep, absolutely.
Signed about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it'd be this week and next week for those two membership classes. Make sure you'll join Pastor Tom for that. So.
And I'm ready to get into word. You ready?
I am. Let's move on. If you will, I know you just sat down, but if you would stand with me in the house of the Lord today, thank you so much for being with me, being with us today. And I feel a strange stirring in the spirit this morning. And I don't know if I'm just talking to myself and you get to listen, or if this is a word for you as well. But God is certainly moving, and there's a work that He is doing. And we're glad that you are here today. For those of you that are in-house, and also those of you that have logged on online, we're part of our internet community. We're glad that you're with us. Father, let's go to the Lord. Father, we just ask that You would help us today. God, we need the moving of Your Spirit in our lives. God, we need you to move within our midst. And I do believe that there are miracles that you are wanting to work. Father, there is nothing that you have to prove to yourself for yourself. For Father, there's nothing that you have to complete that would make you complete. But Father, everything you do is for us. We stand today in not just the need of what we want to see you do, but God, what you have already done. And we praise you as the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask or think. We just ask that you would fill this room and fill this place with your glory. I need you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 18 is one of those powerful passages of Scripture where the Lord is speaking and he says, "Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." There's a lot that happens before we get to that place. And we've been talking about God's remnant, God's faithful people who are still exist on this earth. And the word of the Lord today, for those of you who are faithful, we talked last week about being fruitful. But today's word is this: look around. Look around to see what God is doing this week. And I'm hesitant to mention this. And if you would just bear with me today. I feel the presence of the Lord, but there is a battle that's raging. I feel the weariness on you. I feel what it is that you're going through. And this is a word for somebody today. I was supposed to be in Africa this morning, and I'm finishing up a time at a seminary there. But as you know, that was canceled. And with that cancellation, there had been an invitation that was extended to me to go to Colorado to spend a few days at a missionary base with one of our young adults who's a staff member there, William Kersey and his wife, Tori. And so after the funeral on Monday, I was on standby literally all day and didn't know if I was going to make it until I got on the plane. But God just showed incredible favor as I went. The goal, I didn't have any expectations. I was just going to just really connect and hear what the Lord was speaking. And this is one of the words that I heard that the Lord impressed upon me. It is right now. What is God doing right now? Where is God right now? What is happening right now? Not worrying about what's going on tomorrow and not worrying about what's happening everywhere else, but where is God within this moment? And here we have it. Life is filled with ups and downs. There are so many times that even for the faithful followers of Jesus Christ, it seems as though everything is up and down. There are times when everything seems to be going great, but then there's times that the bottom falls out, and you feel like the whole weight of the world is on your shoulders. When you have that overwhelming feeling that everything is crushing in around you, oftentimes pride is coming into the mix. Because pride wants you to take on more than what God intends for you to carry. God hasn't called you to carry some of the burdens that you're carrying. And then when that begins to happen, the next thing is you feel like you're the only one doing anything. You're the only one contributing in this relationship. You're the only one that's serving the Lord. You're the only one working at your job. You're the only one showing up. And all these things are happening. And so as we'll see, what we need is we need to stop and look around to see where God is moving, because we get so focused on what's in front of us that we fail to see God as he's working. And so today we're going to look at just two examples from Elijah's story that will help us to look around. And Elijah is this great man of faith. And I really don't even know how where we're going with this today, so just bear with me. Because Elijah's story is one that we see this great man of faith. We look and he comes into the court of Ahab and stands before them and says that there's not going to be rain that's going to fall from the sky until I say it. Because God is bringing a spiritual drought to a physical drought that manifests itself because of what's happening in your lives. The spiritual drought that you have had, Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel were kings of Israel. And they drew the people, literally drew the people away from worshiping the one true living God. At this time and place, they had begun to worship her gods because she was not Israeli. And they were worshiping the god of Baal. Baal was the male deity who was the one that they worshiped, the God of the sun and the God of the storm. He was worshiped by the Phoenicians and also the Canaanites. But then there was also another god, the female version, the goddess of Asherah. She was the god of the moon. And in the midst of all of this that was going on, again, it was the Syrians, the Phoenicians, and the Canaanites that were there. And I got to stop right here for just a second, because last week we talked about Noah. And there was a time where Noah lost his focus for just a second, and he got drunk and he laid in his tent naked. You remember that. But what happened with this is there was a curse that was placed upon Canaan. Canaan was Ham's son, and there was something that happened at that time. And we don't know the full incident of what happened with Noah in the tent when they began to look at him. But there, what we do know is this, is that there was a transfer of what was happening because of that sinful decision that passed on to generations that we're struggling with today, and Elijah was struggling with in his time. So some of the decisions you make that may not seem as though they're very important or they'll have big ramifications, they will over time. And so here they are, they're being drawn away from all of this, and Elijah goes in and stands in the court of Ahab and says, it's not going to rain. At the end of this, and during the middle of this, there were great works that Elijah witnessed. He saw that through the ups, he saw that there was a time where he saw the miraculous food provision that God gave him. Then there was times where they didn't have any food. There were times that he went through the depths of a death with a widow of Zaphath, that her son passed away. And then yet he watched as God raised him from the dead. Elijah pulled them all together, and he went back into the court of Ahab, and he said in that moment, he said, it's time. I'm done. You get together your priests, and I'll stand by myself because I'm the only one that's left serving God. And we're going to see whose God is the biggest. You set up a sacrifice, and I'll set up a sacrifice, and we'll call down fire from heaven and see who moves. The 450 prophets of Baal, the priests gathered around on the mountainside, and the sacrifice was offered, and they began to call down fire from the morning to the noon to the afternoon time, and nothing happened. Nothing moved. They were dancing and they were chanting and they were cutting themselves, and nothing happened. And finally, it was Elijah's turn. And with a short, simple prayer, he turned to heaven, and the fire of God began to fall in the midst of that place. And when it did, it not only got the sacrifice, but destroyed the altar. It burned up the very altar of God. And in that moment, conviction fell on the people of God, and they repented of their sins. But that wasn't it. There was the sword that fell on the 450 prophets of Baal, and their lives were taken from them within that moment. As I sat on the mountaintop this week, I looked at literally at the beginning, and you can see it at the Alpine Trail that we were heading somewhere in a distance, because I believe that God is taking us somewhere. But there's a journey for us to get from where we are to where God wants us to be, and it's not always an easy journey, but it's the journey that God has for us. And as I sat on top of that mountain, I sat on one side, the sun was setting, but yet on the other side, the moon was rising. And as I looked at all of creation, that's what happened with Israel. They began to worship the creation instead of the creator. And there was in the midst of that time a reminder that God is the one that we're to worship. God is the one who is living. God is the one that's made the sun. He made the moon. He made the mountains. God is the one who gives us life. God is the one who is with us. And God is faithful through it all. And they missed out on what it was that God was doing. But yet Elijah saw the miraculous take place. Here's a word for you this morning. God's called you to do his work. God has called you to do his work. Don't let the enemy's threat keep you from it. This great man of God, who saw great exploits by God, found himself in a difficult place. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and left his servant there. Now, Jezebel knew that she couldn't just kill him. The threat was there, but she couldn't have killed him. If she killed him, then he would turn out to be a martyr. The people would turn against him, her, in the midst of all of this. So she gave this threat. This threat was something that was able to stop Elijah from doing the work that God wanted him to do. And this is what I want you to understand. The enemy is not as concerned about what you do as he is about you. Because he knows that if he can stop you, it will stop the work that God has called you to do. So the threats that he comes against you with are there to try to stop you from what it is that God has for you to do. And you're sitting there, maybe you're saying, well, what work is there for me to do? I'm not called to be this or that. Yeah, there is a work that God has in your life. And the threat that was against him was one that shook him to the core. As she came in and she said, within 24 hours, you're going to be dead. And then she said, if that doesn't happen, I bring the curses on myself for it not happening. Some translations add a little bit of a difference to this. They say, as surely as you are Elijah and I am Jezebel, it will happen. And when you stop and begin to think about what she's saying within that moment, by looking at the names and what they mean, her name, Jezebel, means where is Baal? And his name, Elijah, means Yahweh is God. So in that moment, what was happening, as sure as I know where Baal is, and as sure as you say that Yahweh is God, there's a struggle that's going on in the midst of us. That is what's happening today. That same God of Baal, or that same God of Baal, is still in existence today. There was illicit sexual activity that went around the worship of that God. And what's happening is it may be packaged differently, but that spirit is still there. And there's a battle that's happening in the spirit realm in the world right now. I feel it this morning. Even trying to preach this message, I know that there is something out there that's trying to bind the message that God has to deliver. But there is one God, and he is the living God. He is true. He is the one that reigns and reigns supremely. He is the one working in your life. He is the one that you need. But yet, her threat was one that sent the man of God running for his life. Those threats are real. I think that there was something else that was really going on in Elijah's life. Elijah was experiencing what I think are the classic signs of burnout. As you're sitting in here, maybe some of these symptoms you can identify with. Fatigue. There's a forgetting to eat or a loss of appetite. Now, those first two symptoms could be COVID, so just be careful. But you just feel exhausted. You can't eat. You've forgotten to even eat and lost your appetite. You're fighting depression. He said, I wish that I could die. This great man of God was asking God to take his life. He was fascinated with the new. When you get to a place that you're experiencing burnout, you're just grasping for the latest and greatest to kind of help you through what you're going through. Things are so bad everywhere in your life that you're just trying to hang on to something, and then the newest or the latest or the greatest can help you. There's this continual feeling of failure. I'm not making it. I'm not good enough. I've messed up. It's focusing on self. Everything becomes about me. Everything. There's the formulation of exaggerations. Everybody's against me. I'm the only one. You begin to have this and begin to falsify the perceptions. It becomes us versus them. It becomes the whole world against you. And you've got this perception that you're in this place and that everything's good and everything else is bad. And so everybody's against you and nothing's going to happen. And this is exactly what this man of God was going through. He found himself there. And maybe you are in a very similar place, that you feel so overwhelmed by everything that's happening around you. And how is it? It just amazes me, because one thing, one threat can cause even the mighty to spiral downward. After you go through this, one more threat against you that otherwise may not matter, that otherwise may not be a big deal, becomes a big deal. It's one more phone call, one more task that added to your list, one more decision that you have to make, one more thing that comes against you can make you snap. And there are these threats that the enemy's bringing against you, saying that you won't make it. I've got you. As William and I begin to walk, hike the 6 miles up or whatever it was, things begin to turn. We already had questions that was going through our mind. It's going to be too high. It's going to take too long. We had all these threats. Well, you won't make it. And then we came across this. As we're walking through there, we were looking and already noticed some scat along the way. But then we looked at this, and the picture doesn't do it justice, but it is a bear track. Then we realized that, wait a minute, we're not the only two on this mountain. In that moment, the thought crosses your mind, well, maybe I should just turn around and head on back. Or maybe I press through. You know, the threat of whether or not it's going to get too dark, or I'm going to get lost, or I'm going to get injured, or what's going to happen. The threats that the enemy brings against you are real. Threats that come against your life are real. But it's within those moments. It's easy to judge someone else until we're the one walking in it. It's easy to judge what somebody else is going through and how they should react. But this man who had seen God's power exhibited in his life, that where 450 prophets stood against him, as he stood against darkness and saw the victory, he fearfully ran away in defeat. It could happen to any of us. Some of you are sitting here right now. Some of you are watching online. And if it's up to you, you would run from all of your circumstances. But God's not called us to run. We can't run away from him. We got to run to him. The answer for what you're going through is not, there's times that you got to get away. But it's not that. There's times you've got to run to him. He's the one. He's the one that you need. Don't try to run away from your problems. Run to your God, because he's the one that can change the circumstances that you're in. The enemy may come at you with a threat, but there's a work that God's called you to. He's called you to be the witnessing student in your school. He's called you to be the faithful husband to your wife. He's called you to be the loving mother to your children. He's called you to be a contributing citizen in this community. He's called you to be a fruitful employee on your job. He's called you to be who you need to be and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so when the enemy tries to come against you and you have this thought that everybody's against you and these threats are coming your way, it's not time for you to run away in defeat, but stand strong in who you know. Stand strong in who you are. Stand strong in what you believe and watch God move in your life. We need this. We need it now. The second word, second lesson we can learn is this. God's put people in your life. Don't isolate yourself from the ones you need. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 18, at the very end of, or not, verse 3, at the very end of verse 3, it says this, and he left his servant there. Now, that's just something that we could just pass by, and it might not seem like that big of a deal. But when you stop and consider what is being spoken, he left his servant there. God sent him and gave him a servant. Tradition has that this is perhaps the son of the widow of Zarephath that was raised from the dead. And it makes sense, because when you were dead and you're alive, then the first one that you see, you're going to want to connect with, because they got a hold of God for you. And so maybe this obligation that he owed his life to Elijah. But unfortunately, what he did by leaving his servant behind was he left himself vulnerable to the attack of the enemy, because the very one that was with him, the only one that was with him, is now gone. We find ourselves there. There's times that we begin to isolate ourselves from the very ones that God sent as an answer to our prayers. We have prayed, God, I need help. And God has sent help. And when he sent help to us, we wasn't the help that we wanted. So we're still looking for something else. We're not at a place that we need to be isolating ourselves from the ones that God has placed inside of our lives. You need the ones that God has placed there. You need the right ones in your life. And I know that it is easy at times to begin to separate ourselves, but in doing so, we're isolating ourselves and we're leaving ourselves under attack. We're leaving ourselves vulnerable. The very one that could help Elijah was now left beside us. And I know I've seen it. There's been times throughout history that great men and women of God have found themselves separated for a season. Some of them would go to the mountain, like Moses would ascend to the mountaintops, and he spent time in the presence of God. But here's the thing, though God may send you to a season of separation, he never intends for you to stay there. You can't stay in a place of isolation all the time. You find yourself in a place that you didn't intend to be. Jesus went up and spent time in the wilderness and spent time in the desert. And there was this time of alone for Jesus, but he didn't stay there. He continued to move back to where the people are. I'm going to tell you, it was tempting on that day for me to stay on top of the mountain. There was something about the clean air. There was something about getting away and almost forgetting about all the problems and all the stuff. But that's not where God's called us to live. God's never intended us to live on those mountaintop experiences. But even now, there's distractions that might come your way. There's things that you have and the things that you're going through that you need somebody else. Just last night, I received a message from someone that said, I need you to pray for me. He said, I know that I feel overwhelmed and I feel the anxiety beginning to come in. I know that I'm going to be okay, but I just need some extra help. And I'm thinking within that moment, you have just nailed this message. Because this is not someone that ran away from God. He's running to God. And he recognized within that moment that I need some extra help. I need somebody that's going to pray with me. And I'm not isolating myself or separating myself from what's going on. Instead, I'm pushing forward because I know I'm going to be all right. But I just need to get to that place. And I need you to help me. I know that with all that the enemy's trying to bring against the church right now, that there's division that's coming in. There's division that's coming in. I'm telling you, I have been a pastor for over 7.5 years, and I've been in ministry longer than I've been an adult. But this is one of the most difficult times that I've ever seen in my ministry, because there's something that I realize that I stand before you in this sacred stand, is that I can't win when it comes to the world. I can't win when it comes to pleasing others, because some are wondering, well, why haven't you shut down? And some are wondering, there's no way that you can shut down. And there's all these things that are going on everywhere, and people's got all these opinions about what's going on, and there's an attack against the believers. Well, how come you can't? Why won't you stand up against the vaccine, and why aren't you pushing the vaccine? And all these places and all these things that are happening, that's why it's important for me to hear what God is saying, because what he says matters above everything else. And as much as I love you and as much as I try to respect you, I can't go by your opinions. I've got to go with what God is saying right now. What is God speaking in this moment right now? And what God is speaking is, look around. Look around and see what I'm doing. Look around and see how I'm moving. As we were there, we came across this trail, and it had a marker on a tree. And there was this temptation to get off the course that we were on and follow this trail. So we did for a little while. But something just didn't feel right. You know, originally I told William, because I would spend time in the morning working and praying and doing, and then after lunch we would go out. And I told him, I said, man, if you're not free, just drop me off and I'll be okay. I'll make it. But I realized that that wasn't a smart decision to make, and thankfully he was able to come alongside of me. And as we're walking through and we're beginning to discern that, wait a minute, there's something going on, we both came to the conclusion that, wait a minute, this isn't where we're supposed to be. And if we would have followed that trail, we would have missed out on what God had for us. So we turned around and went and followed the direction of the Lord, but it was the two of us working together as a team to get to that place. There were literally times when we didn't know which way to go, but yet we began to seek the Lord, and God began to direct us, but God placed him there in my life. Who is it that God has placed around you? Who is it that God has sent your way to help you during this time? It might be the person that's sitting beside you, and there's times that we feel that it's so difficult, but yet God has placed the people within this room and within your family, within your house to help you out. And I know that you feel alone. I know that even with your spouse, there's times that you feel alone because they might not be believers, and yet you are, and you're trying to follow the Lord, but they're not. And so in the midst of this, what do you do? God has placed people in your life who love you and who will care for you. We can't separate ourselves. We've got to surround ourselves with the one that God wants us to have, and he'll do it. You know, I look at this story as I close this morning, and it could have went differently. Elijah could have ran to the Lord instead of running from him. Elijah could have surrounded himself with the servant who was there to help him instead of drawing away from him. It could have been different for you and for me. We've got to remain focused on what it is that God wants us to do and surround ourselves with the people he's sending to help us do it. It's challenging. It's challenging. That's what brings us right back around to verse 18. Yet I will reserve 7,000 of my people who have not bowed down to Baal or kissed him. Here was Elijah all over the place. But this word, this statement that God made, yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel. If God is able to keep 7,000 faithful to him, he's able to keep Elijah. And if God is able to keep Elijah with all that he was going through, guess what? God is able to keep you. You are not alone. Look around you. There's evidence of God everywhere. William and I made it to the top. We made it past the top. I'd said a couple of days earlier, I want that mountain. I want that. And God allowed us to make it there. The heights and the places and the experiences that I've never in my life seen before. There's a place that God is wanting to take all of us. It's places that we may not have been in him before. And though there are threats that say we'll never make it, and though we try to isolate ourselves and back away from it, the Lord, even right now in the midst of all this going on, the Lord is drawing us to different places in Him. God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your faithful ones. But Father, even the faithful find themselves in trouble at times. I thank You for the power of Your word, that even with life as difficult and situations may not be favorable to right, You have revealed the humanity even within the people of faith. And Father, I pray that You would do a work in strengthening us and strengthening our resolve to serve You, to live for You, to do for You, even right now, that we may be fruitful in these times. Father, would You minister to us today? Would You minister to us today in this house? Will You do Your work in this house? You're in here today and you've never started a relationship with Jesus Christ, or maybe you, like Elijah, ran and you're still running. That Jonah-type spirit is on you, and you have been running further and further and further and further away from Him. I know this because I've been there. It's not going to make things easier. When you run, it just makes things more difficult. Stop. Stop. Turn around and start running towards Him. When you run to Him, He'll run to you. He'll send people around you that'll help you. Thank those of you that have watched us online. There'll be somebody that's coming to talk to you about how you can start a relationship with Jesus Christ that is real and lasting, and that means everything. God bless you. If you're in the house, would you stand with me, please?
Yes, we thank you so much for joining us this morning online. Like Pastor just said, that if you have never taken that step out and given your life to Jesus, today is your day. The Bible says today is a day of salvation, and I believe that's true for tomorrow and the next day and the next day, but why wait? Why wait? If you feel a nudge and you feel God drawing you to Him this morning, I just encourage you to reach out and accept the gift of salvation He is offering you this morning. It's as simple as repenting of your sins, asking for forgiveness. And I say that's two different things. Asking forgiveness and repentance is two different things. You asking to forgive you, and repentance is turning away from that sin. A 180 flip around, going, walking the different directions, looking different, acting different, talking different. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But you're striving to be like Him, striving to be like Jesus. Asking Him to be the Lord of your life, to save your soul, and just believing that He lived this life. He was born on this earth, lived this life, walked on this earth, died for your sins, died for your transgressions, raised to life new. Believing that is how you become saved. And I urge you this morning, if you want to know more about Jesus, if you want to know more, you want to talk to somebody about that, I just urge you that you would just come to Him this morning. If you'd make a phone call this morning, let us lead you to Him this morning. Let us guide you to Him this morning. Let us help you take that next step in Him. Phone number is going to be on the screen, 912-262-1227. Call that number. Text that number. We want to help you meet Jesus this morning. If you've already accepted Him, maybe you're one that Pastor was just talking about, and you know it's you. You know you're struggling. You know there's people, you know there's things trying to keep you from going the right directions to God. I just urge you and encourage you to keep pushing forward. to keep dwelling, to keep looking up, and to keep moving forward. Don't turn around. Don't get lost in the hustle bustle. Don't allow the distraction of this world to distract you from what God has for you. This number's for you too as well. If you just need to make that call and just have somebody to talk to, we're here for you. We want to pray with you. We want to be here for you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Know that number once again is on the screen. Anytime, call that number, text that number. We will get back to you. Love you. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night online for our 30-minute meal. And be blessed. See you soon.